Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, March 24th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. I'm recording this Sunday night right after GCW The Block is Hot, so you'll be getting a Sunday night upload here on FightfulSelect.com. As always, I appreciate everyone who listens, whenever you listen, wherever you listen. Always appreciate the support. Got a lot to talk about today, a lot of results and spoilers, so let's go through topics and jump into it. On this edition of The Weekender, we have results for GCW Role Model and GCW The Block is Hot. We got New South Haas Tournament results. This was two nights, one big tournament, but some also, and all I should say, but also some non-tournament matches that were really big, some really big results. So got the full Haas Tournament results. It actually took place at the beginning of March, but actually aired this past weekend on IWTV. Also have results for AIW Tougher Than Leather, Action Wrestling's Madras Mayhem, NXT Level Up. We got a brand new show, WWE Speed, that'll be airing on X. Got the spoilers for that, so I'll make sure to give you a spoiler alert before I read those out if you want to remain spoiler-free. Also have results for Glory Pro Ascend, which featured a big title fight. Also results for NWA Power, and I'll round up today's show with spoilers for TNA Impact. As I mentioned with the Speed spoilers, I will try to remember to timestamp the Impact spoilers in case you want to remain spoiler-free for everything. So, that all said, those are the topics for today. A lot of results, a lot of spoilers, a lot of stuff to get to. So, without any further ado, let's jump right into the first topic, which is GCW results, starting with Role Model. This was from Detroit, Michigan on Friday night. Saturday night on March 23rd. They did Saturday and Sunday night show, of course, because today is Sunday when I'm recording this. We had GCW Role Model Saturday night, and this took place out of Harpo's Theater. Really great venue there in Detroit. These are the results. We have the Garbage Daddies, Cole Radrick and Alec Price, over the Michigan Pillars, the team of Malcolm Monroe III and Tommy Vendetta, who had Darren McCarthy in their corner. The finish of this one was a really cool double team move that I don't think I've seen the Garbage Daddies do before. This is going to be unedited, by the way. I'm just going to roll with this. It's too late tonight for me to fix my errors and reshoot anything. So you're going to get the raw, unedited footage today. But that said, it was a move that I don't think I've ever seen the Garbage Daddies pull off before. We had Cole Radrick do a backdrop onto Monroe, but the backdrop was caught midair by Alec Price into a sit-out powerbomb. So it was like a backdrop sit-out powerbomb double team combo by the Garbage Daddies onto Malcolm Monroe to get the 1-2-3. After the match, Darren McCarty gets in the ring and lights up a blunt, and then everybody from the match all hits the blunt and, you know, hangs out, chills, they're all friends. It's all good. That was a pretty cool moment. And McCarty is like really big in Detroit. You know, he was a NHL player, and they very much appreciate him there. We had a six-way scramble match up next. We had Gringo Loco over Isaiah Broner, Joshua Bishop, Karam, Marcus Mathers, and Oni El Bendito. The finish of this one was a pop-up Rikishi driver by Gringo Loco for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a non-title match. GCW champion Blake Christian with Shane Mercer defeated Sawyer Reck. Once again, non-title match. The finish here was Sawyer hitting a choke slam through a door onto Blake, but there was a kick out at two. Sawyer grabs Blake going for a Baldo bomb, like the double-handed choke slam that I actually think she hits way better. I talk about that ad nauseum. People who listen to the show know how I feel about Sawyer Reck's choke slams, although she has been hitting really, really good ones lately, so I got to give her credit where it's due. They may have corrected the error there, so I would love nothing more than to no longer complain about Sawyer Reck's choke slams, because she has such a hard time picking people up for some reason sometimes. But the last few have been great, and I think the Baldo bomb's even better. She goes for the Baldo bomb, but Mercer grabs the leg of Sawyer, so she can't execute the move, and that leads to Blake Christian hitting the double stomp onto Sawyer Reck. 1-2-3. Blake Christian gets the win there. And that sets up the next night as well, because we had a tag team match that involved them. After that, we had a great match. This was a spectacle. We saw Microman over Dan the Dad. The finish here was Microman hitting a cannonball in the corner in the bottom turnbuckle. following up with a double stomp and then a Vader bomb off the second rope for the 1-2-3. After the match, Microman and Dan hug each other and then, you know, show each other some love. Microman still undefeated coming out of this match in Game Changer Wrestling. After that, we had the Rich and the Powerful, the team of Perro and Richard Holiday, over the Mothership, the team of Alley Catch and Dark Sheik. The finish of this one was Mance Warner interfering in the match and knocking Sheik off the top rope and then going after Alley Catch with a screwdriver. That led to Richard Holiday hitting the 2008 onto Alley Catch and pinning her for the 1-2-3. After that, we had another tag team match where Jacob and Zilla Fatu defeated Bang and Matthews, the former Bang Bros. The finish here was the Bang Bros going for Ride the Bus, their double team rolling spear, but Jacob pops, he did like a pop-up like to Jacob Fatu, and Zilla hit a Samoan drop, and that was on a Davey Bang, and then Zilla hits a Samoan, or I guess a Samoan spike, Zilla spike, we're just calling him New Maga, like I said the other week. Zilla vibes so hard with Umaga, he is New Maga. He is the actual son of Umaga. He is New Maga. Hits the New Maga spike midair into August. August Matthews comes off the top rope, and Zilla hits him with a spike, 1-2-3. After that, we had Joey Janela with Missy Hyatt over Shane Mercer with Blake Christian. The finish of this one was Mercer and Hyatt are like getting into it, and he's distracted. Allows for a low blow, and then Joey hits hits Mercer in the head with a Gucci bag, with Hyatt's Gucci bag right to the dome, 1-2-3. After the match, Blake hits Joey with the championship. And once again, this continues to set up. There's a tag team match the next night which was earlier tonight, between Joey Janela and Sawyer Rec against Shane Mercer and Blake Christian, which I got the results for here in just a minute for y'all. After that, with the GCW tag team titles on the line and a death match, Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo defend and retain their championships over the Rejects, John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley. The finish of this one was, looks like it was supposed to be Chasing the Dragon by VIF, but what winds up happening is honestly just as brutal looking, because what happens is Dominic Greene picks Reed Bentley up for a brainbuster, and normally Koo would do the kick, you know, before coming down with the brainbuster, but like, Bentley was kind of dead weight, and Guarini was just, like, trying to lift him up, so Koo just grabs him by the legs and just kind of throws him through a glass pane. So it's like an assisted brain buster by Koo and Guarini through a pane of glass onto Reed Bentley for the 1-2-3. VIF retains their titles once again in what is going to become a historic title run. After that, we had the main event of the show, which was Danhausen over Matt Cardona. Cardona had the rest of Deathmatch royalty in his corner, that being Broski Jimmy and Septa Lander. The finish of this one was SDL and Cardona were a double team attacking Danhausen in the ring. Nick Gage comes out to save Danhausen and hits a spine buster on Cardona. Danhausen loads up, he grabs like a handful of teeth and loads up Cardona's mouth, you know, his mouthful of teeth, and then there's a running kick to his head. Teeth go everywhere. Danhausen pins him and gets the win over Cardona in the main event of the show that we all got to see. And then there was a dark match, glass ceiling match, where Jimmy Lloyd defeated Raka Raka, but we do not get to see that because it was a dark match. But I'm sure that was brutal and violent, getting to see Broski Jimmy, a.k.a. Jimmy F. and Lloyd, doing a death match. Moving on, got more Game Changer Wrestling results. This was GCW The Block is Hot, and this happened earlier today, so Sunday night. And this is also available on Triller TV Plus. I forgot to mention, Role Model was on Triller TV Plus as well. All GCW events available on Triller TV Plus. The results for The Block is Hot are as follows. Oh, this show happened out of New York, Rochester, New York. This is the first time they'd ever been there. And that's also Brett Lauderdale's hometown. We had the opening match where Cole Radrick defeated Kevin Blackwood. The finish of this one was a springboard stunner, and then he chains it right into a Little Sebastian's Curse and gets the pinfall victory. Also worth mentioning, Kevin Blackwood won the West Coast Pro Heavyweight Championship last night. The event is available on YouTube. I have not been able to watch the entire show yet, just because we got so much results to go through today. So I have not caught up completely on West Coast Pro. But so the last that I had checked, the whole show is available over on YouTube for free. go check it out. And like I said, I know that Kevin Blackwood defeated Starboy Charlie to become the West Coast Pro Champion. I may go through all those results next week, depending on how stacked, you know, kind of our workload is with how many shows we got to get through. But West Coast Pro is one of the top indie shows in the country. Normally, I cover all of their events, especially big title changes like Blackwood, you know, getting a win over Starboy Charlie. That's a really big deal. But it's just one of those things we are doing. But this, to give you all, to put it into perspective, just today alone, we've got two GCW, two New South, so that's four, five for AAW, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. We got 11 sets of results. Two of them were spoilers, and most of them are going to be full results with, like, you know, finishes and stuff. So, like, I just did not have the time to also watch West Coast Pro this weekend, unfortunately, so I could not include them in the results. But congratulations to Kevin Blackwood for becoming the new champion. And Cole Ryder gets the win over Blackwood in the opener of GCW The Block Is Hot. After that, we had the Rich and the Powerful, the combination of Charles Mason and Richard Holiday, along with Perro. They defeat To Infinity and Beyond, the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney. The finish of this one was Perro holding Cheech outside the ring so he couldn't come back in and help out Colin Delaney. While Colin was in the ring, he's getting a double-team submission hold put on him. Charles Mason has a rear naked choke locked in. Richard Holiday has a figure four locked in, all at the same time, forcing Delaney to tap out. So Rich and Powerful get the win there over To Infinity and Beyond. After that, we had Nick Wayne over Broski Jimmy. Before the match, Nick Wayne talked about how, basically some critiques that I had had last week on the Weekender and on the Spotlight when talking about this stuff. But Nick Wayne recently was talking, you know, on GCW TV to Jimmy Lloyd about how he had been brainwashed and, you know, basically Matt Cardona is doing exactly to him what you know, Christian is doing to Nick Wayne. But Nick Wayne hadn't acknowledged that. Jimmy Lloyd brings that up on this show and talks about it. So I'm glad that was finally acknowledged, you know, on the show. It was like the elephant in the room with this story that Nick Wayne is being brainwashed on AEW television. And we all know that and see that as well. But nonetheless, the actual finish of this match was Jimmy accidentally spearing SDL through a door. And then Nick Wayne follows up with a Poison Rana and then Wayne's World 1-2-3. After that, we had Mance Warner take on Micro Man. The finish here, I think it's technically a no contest, or maybe it's possibly a DQ win for Micro Man. I'm not sure how GCW is going to rule this one. But basically what winds up happening is Mance Warner, at one point, it was really brutal at one. Well, actually, I want to mention also, I forgot to mention, during the Nick Wade and Broski Jimmy match, it's worth pointing out, there was a really nice counter to Wayne's World that that Jimmy did during the match. It was like a Wayne's World counter midair into a into a Gonzo bomb. It was really nice. Wanted to shout that out. Forgot to note that. Really cool spot in that match. And a really cool spot in the Warner versus Micro Man match was at one point Warner like stabs Micro Man in the side with the screwdriver. It looks so brutal. And Micro Man had like this mini screwdriver he was trying to use on Warner. And eventually Warner just unloads and just hits Micro Man over the head multiple times with the screwdriver, just digs it in his head multiple times, stab, stab, stab with that screwdriver. Mance Warner's a psycho. He's even more psycho because then he wants to go unmask Micro Man, and Alley Catch makes the save with a pair of pliers, and Mance Warner runs off. But like I said, I don't know if Micro Man gets the DQ win for that or no contest. Regardless, he is still completely undefeated in Game Changer Wrestling, so congratulations to keeping that streak alive for Micro Man. And I don't think they acknowledged it on commentary, but Micro Man and Warner have a lot of history, actually, because they were heavily aligned in MLW. We covered a lot of that here on the Weekender. We covered all of it on the Weekender. So just a little wrinkle there. If you follow multiple promotions, you know the backstory, and there's a longtime friendship between Micro Man and Mance Warner. Mance Warner, also, by the way, known as, Good Brother 3 on MLW. I don't know if he's still doing that. It's been a minute since I can remember if he's doing that gimmick still or not. After that, we had Marcus Mathers over Ariel Van Gogh, Jay Lyon, and Facade in a four-way match. Ariel Van Gogh, if you don't know, is the former Zenshi. Been doing the Van Gogh thing for a minute, but a lot of people do remember Zenshi as well. The finish to this one, I'm going to do my best to explain. Basically, Facade runs down the entrance ramp, which was, like, level to the ring. Runs down the entrance ramp, does a springboard doomsday European uppercut onto Zenshi, who's being held up in the air by Jay Lyon. But on the way down, Zenshi hits a poison Rana onto Lyon, and they kind of botch it. It looked totally brutal, but like they definitely didn't land how they were supposed to. It looked really dangerous. But then coming off the poison Rana, both those guys are super hurt. So the only person really standing is Facade. Marcus Mathers sees Facade's in position to maybe win the match, gets back in the ring, hits a diving corkscrew second rope destroyer, and then follows up by a top rope 450 splash. So Mathers gets the win by pinning Facade with a 450, gets the win in the fatal four-way. After that, we had Jacob and Zilafa 2 over Gringo Loco and Oney El Bendito. The finish of this one, well, actually, there's a couple cool spots before I get to the finish. There was one really nice one where Gringo Loco reversed a springboard top rope Frankensteiner into a base bomb onto Jacob Fatu. So basically, Fatu did like a top rope springboard and like went for a Frankensteiner off the top turnbuckle onto Gringo, and he reversed it with a base bomb through a door. And then Zilla made the save on the pinfall by hitting a top rope splash, just like his brothers, or to say his brothers, just like his bloodline members, just like the brothers of the Usos do. That's what I was trying to say. Jimmy and Jey Uso, who are brothers, they do that move and have kind of like passed it down to Zilla, because Zilla, of course, as I keep mentioning, the son of Umaga, aka New Maga. And then there was another really nice spot where Gringo Loco went for like a kind of like a twisting top rope moonsault, and Jacob caught him on his shoulders with a Samoan drop and put him through a door with it. And Gringo kicked out a two from that one. So this match was really nuts. Like, this was a really, really, really good tag team match. All four of these guys killed it. Oney had a couple spots that were a little shaky, but outside of that, really damn good match. And there was multiple times where I thought, the match was done, and I thought it was going to be the finish. The actual finish was Jacob Fatu tosses Oney up in the air, and Zilla does a jumping Samoan spike and hits him in the throat with it. 1, 2, 3. After that, we had Mothership, the team of Dark Sheik and Alley Catch, over High C, the team of Captain and Nick Ando and Cloudy. The finish here was Alley Catch hitting a Heat Seeker Pussy Pile Driver onto Ando, and then Dark Sheik hitting a top rope leg drop onto Cloudy for the 1, 2, 3. Mothership gets the W. After that, we had another tag team match where VIF, Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo, they defeat Murder Death Killhausen, the team of Danhausen and Nick Gage. I'm going to try to do my best to explain the finish of this one here. So Danhausen has Koo up for a go to sleep. Greene throws Nick Gage into both of them, so Danhausen can't do the GTS. Dom then throws Gage right through a corner, or a door that was set up in the corner. So Dom, takes Gage out, throws him through that corner door. And Kevin Koo, as this is happening, does a small package onto Danhausen and pins him to win the match. Afterwards, Danhausen blames Nick Gage for the loss in the microphone, then tries to curse him. And Nick Gage sets up a tag team match for Spring Break. That'll be Nick Gage and Maki Ito versus Danhausen and a mystery partner that Danhausen needs to find. And with this win, I think VIF, I think they either tied or broke the record for the most tag team title defenses in a single run, which is pretty incredible because they haven't had the titles that long. Like, they won them at Center Stage in Atlanta, and I was there live for that show. One of my favorite live moments that I've been a part of. It definitely in recent memory, but really like all time, since I'm such a big fan of those guys. And Center Stage is such a great venue. But since then, they've done nothing but just title defense, title defense, title defense. Love it. VIF, Violence is Forever, still your GCW Tag Team Champions. And they're, of course, heading into the Punjabi Prison at Spring Break, which is going to be a four-way tag team match in the Punjabi Prison, which I just cannot wait to see what all goes down in that one. And then the main event of the show, we had Joey Janela and Sawyer Wreck, along with Missy Hyatt, over Blake Christian and Shane Mercer. The finish of this one was Janela hitting a top rope double stomp onto a chair onto Shane Mercer. Blake follows up with a knee to the head to Janela. After that, Blake Christian and Missy Hyatt are like kind of they're kind of getting into it, and Blake gets distracted. This allows Sawyer Rack to hit a choke slam onto Blake Christian, and then she throws Blake towards Joe Janela, who hits him in the head with the Gucci bag from Missy Hyatt. 1, 2, 3. Joe Janela pins GCW champion Blake Christian. And of course, Janela is going to be wrestling Blake for the GCW title at Spring Break. And as I've said many times, I fully expect Joe Janela to win the world championship at Spring Break. But I really feel like Mance Warner is going to cash in. He's got basically his money in the bank. And I mean, he's even making MLJ refer to him as the future GCW world champion in his intros. And like I said, my perfect scenario, I've said it before and I'll say it again for new listeners. I've been saying this for a while. I think what happens at Spring Break is earlier in the night, I think Effie defeats Mance Warner. You know, Effie wins the feud and it's just a bloody, brutal, you know, this match is going to be super, super violent. And Effie is going to finally get the win. And it's going to feel like he's sending away Mance Warner. Like, okay, he's overcome Warner. We can all take a big breath here. And then at the end of the night, I think Joe Janela defeats Blake Christian for the championship. And in like a Tommy Dreamer ECW championship type moment, right after he wins, Mance Warner comes out covered in blood and defeats Joe Janela right away to become the champion. The only thing I don't like about that scenario is it's similar to how Blake Christian won the title, because he did the same thing where, like, he had the money in the bank. I just call it the money in the bank because it's easier for people to know what I'm talking about, but he basically had the money in the bank. Masha Slamovic hadn't just won the title, but she was pretty early in her title reign, but it wasn't, like, immediately. Either way, I feel like it's a good story, and I feel like they should do it, and I do feel like Mance Warner should be the GCW champion. He's been one of the top guys for a really long time, so that's just my 2 cents, but that all said, I'm very looking forward to GCW during the Collective over WrestleMania weekend, because these were the last GCW shows before the Collective. So the next up is the big weekend. So yeah, really looking forward to all that going on real soon. Moving on, got results for New South. This is the Haas Tournament 2024. Two-night tournament, but some other big results that are non-tournament related that I'm going to get into. This happened from Florence, Alabama. The whole thing is available to watch on independentwrestling.tv. So use code FIGHTTALK if you want to check out the show over on IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv. Just let the platform know that I sent you their way. Shout out to Carmen Michael and Rob Weathers on commentary. All right, so I will give you the results right now for the Haas Tournament, the Heart of the Southern 16. I'll specify when they are non-tournament matches. So we got first round, Big Dave over Negative Lee. The finish of that one was basically there was a lariat by Big Dave. He pulls Negative Lee up at 2, like he could have pinned him, but instead of getting the 3, pulls him up at 2. And then hits Spirit of 99, which is like a better version of the lariat where he hit both ropes, running lariat, 1, 2, 3. Big Dave defeats Negative Lee to move on. After that first round, we have Rico Gonzalez over Bobby Flacco. The finish of this one was Rico Charge, which is his double stomp to standing Flacco onto the ring apron for the 1, 2, 3. After that, we had another first round where Donnie Primetime defeats Zicky Dice. The finish of this one was Zicky and the ref, like, Zicky's pulling the ref, and then the ref's pulling back, and then the ref just shoves Zicky, and Donnie tabletops him, and then pins him for the 3 count. After that, we have another first round, where Marcus Dillon defeats Jameson Shook. This one was only, like, a minute long, because there was, like, a really serious thing that happened here that I'll do my best to explain. Basically, Marcus Dillon is outside the ring, and Jameson Shook goes for, like, it was like a whisper in the wind to the outside, and just splats on the concrete on the outside of the ring, just back first, just really, really bad landing. You could tell that they were either injured or, like, completely knocked their wind out, like, something was wrong, and just referee's decision. Marcus Dillon has to move on, and Jameson Shook has to be looked at by a doctor. That one was gnarly, so hope everything's okay with Jameson Shook. After that, we had a grudge match. This is non-tournament, where Cabana Mandan defeated Rolando Perez by disqualification. The finish of this one, basically what winds up happening is Marcus Dillon and Negative Lee attack Cabana Mandan towards the end of the match, and then Dump Sanders makes the save. Those guys are former partners, for those who don't know. They're called the Dumpster Divers. So Dump Sanders, you know, saves Cabana Mandan from the attack from Marcus Dillon negatively. And he gets the DQ win over Rolando Perez. After that, we have more first-round matchups, starting up with Carrie Offal over Caitlin Marie. The finish of this one was Nick Iggy, who was on the outside, the other half of the Carnies, along with Carrie Offal. Iggy distracts the referee, and this allows a schoolboy by Offal, and then he puts his feet up on the top ropes, and Nick Iggy holds his feet for the extra leverage for the three count. After that, another first round where Tyler Franks defeats Storm Grayson. The finish of this one was a torture rack bomb for the three count. After that, we had another first round where Richard Holiday defeats Fuego del Sol. Finish here was Richard Holiday chopping out the leg from behind of Fuego, and this was an injured leg that had been worked throughout the match. Follows up with 2008 and gets the 1-2-3. After that, we had another first round where August Matthews and Davey Bang went to a double countout. Basically, what winds up happening is August Matthews goes off the top rope for a diving crossbody to the outside of the ring, and both guys' heads clash, and neither can answer the 10 count, can't get back into the ring in time. So it's a double countout, and because of this, Richard Holiday is going to get a bye in the next round. And then the main event of the show, we have the New South title on the line in a TLC match. Brayden Toon defeats Hunter Drake to become the new champion. This match absolutely ruled. There's a lot of history between these guys as well. They're former partners called Triple Nines. This would take a long time for me to really get into all of their history, and we're going to definitely, I'll give you some breaking news here as well after I explain this. But basically, months back, I mean, I can't even remember how long ago it was that Hunter Drake won the championship, but he's been the champion for New South for quite a while now. Brayden Toon basically won their version of a Money in the Bank. And essentially, Dylan McQueen had just defeated Kenzie Page to become the New South champion. And right after this match happened, Brayden Toon cashed in his briefcase, but instead of taking the title shot himself, he allowed Hunter Drake to have his title shot. Hunter Drake beat Dylan McQueen and won the championship, and then there was a big falling out between the two, and Hunter Drake changed a lot. He is now a part of the Heartbreak Carnies. He was formerly a part of the Heartbreak Killers with Brogan Finley, who's now Uriah Connors. We're going to talk about him a little bit with 205. Oh, geez, 205 Live. With NXT Level Up, used to be 205 Live, but Uriah Connors, aka Brogan Finley, and Hunter Drake, they were together in that group along with Rico Gonzalez. But more recently, we've been seeing Hunter Drake as a part of the Heartbreak Carnies with Nick Iggy, Carrie Offal, and Classic. So the finish of this one for the TLC title match, we had a Max Driver off the ladder through a door by Brayden Toon to Hunter Drake. And then as he's climbing the ladder, he punches Classic in the head for good measure, knocks him down, grabs the title belt, and Brayden Toon is your new New South champion. During the match, Chris Kronk came out to help fight off the attack of the other Carnies. And after the match, Chris Kronk holds up Toon's arms like while he's holding the belt up. And you can kind of see it in Kronk's face, like he kind of eyes the title. So I think that'll be one of the next big title feuds for Brayden Toon. It'll be Chris Kronk basically saying he's owed a title shot because he helped Brayden Toon win the championship. That's my guess based on what we saw. Yeah, this was a really, really good show. And this was night one. I'll give you the news after the night two results. So this is New South Night 2. This technically took place on March 2nd. So the first show is March 1st, this show is March 2nd. But they weren't available on IWTV until this weekend. And these were all, once again, from Florence, Alabama, from Singing River Brewing Company over on independentwrestling.tv. Starts off with semifinal matches. So we got a semifinal where Donnie Primetime defeats Carrie Offal. The finish of this one was a second rope Death Valley driver for the 1-2-3. Afterwards, Awful attacks Donnie Primetime with a chair and does some moves on the ring apron on the outside. It's just a sore loser, that Kerry Awful. After that, we had another semifinal, Big Dave over Marcus Dillon. The finish here was a Spirit of 99 Lariat for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Tyler Franks over Rico Gonzalez in a semifinal. Gets another win with a torture rack bomb for the 3 count. So Tyler Franks has beaten both of his opponents with the same move, as has Big Dave. After that, we had a non-tournament match where the Mongrel defeats Space Cowboy. Gets the win with the Falcon Arrow for the 3 count. After that, we had a 12-man tag match where Team CMD, which was Cabana Man Dan, Brax, Bobby Flacco, Harrison Hayes, Caitlin Marie, and Thibodeau, they defeat Team Lee, which is Negative Lee, Storm Grayson, Zach Johnson, Mr. Sexy, I Am Sam, and Dante Darko. The finish of this one was, I wrote down a thumb-in-the-mouth choke by Marie to Negative Lee. So it was basically how it sounds. She did basically a rear naked choke, but had her thumb in the mouth of Negative Lee and got him to tap out. After that, we had the New South title on the line. Brand new champion Braden Toon defends and retains his title over Fuego del Sol. The finish of this one was a Max driver followed up by a package pile driver for the 1-2-3. Braden Toon is still your New South champion. And I'll go ahead and I'll break the news right now that I was kind of alluding to. Braden Toon is planned to be the guest on the Spotlight this Thursday on the main YouTube Fightful channel. So please check out the show every Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time with myself and Jeremy Lambert. But as I said, the guest this week is supposed to be New South champion Braden Toon. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to talking to him. He's been on my list for quite some time, and the timing is perfect to get him on the show. Also, I alluded to it last week, and I'll go ahead and I'll just announce it because it's a big show and it'll be WrestleMania week. So in 2 weeks leading into WrestleMania, the guest for the show is going to be Teal Rhodes, the sister of Cody Rhodes. She's been on the show once before. She'll be joining once again to talk Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, the Dusty Rhodes Foundation, and of course, Cody Rhodes heading into WrestleMania that weekend to take on The Rock and Roman with Seth first, and then to take on Roman Reigns and, you know, to finish the story on night two. So obviously she's going to have a lot to say because her family is heavily involved in the story. She's been mentioned in this thing. Her mom's been mentioned a lot. So I'm getting pretty excited. It's WrestleMania season, and we got some pretty big guests coming up for you guys on the Spotlight. So once again, that is every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Our most recent guests were Kyle Peterson and Jeremy Fedauer. Kyle Peterson just wrote a book about the Jack's Classic Superstars toy line. Jeremy Fedauer created the toy line. Jeremy Fedauer is currently the CBO, the Chief Brand Officer of Jazzwares, who makes the AEW action figures, also makes Squishmallows and Halo figures and Pokemon, everything. I mean, Jeremy's the real deal. Kyle's the real deal. And if you want his book for free, just go enter the contest. It's a really easy contest, and not that many people have entered, so you got a really good chance of winning. All you got to do is go onto the YouTube channel, go to the video, and just watch the Spotlight with me and Jeremy, with Kyle and Jeremy Fedauer. Go on that episode, go down to the comments, and just type Jack's Classics. That's all you got to do. If you comment under the video, you're entered to win. We have some comments there, and then there were some live comments in the live chat that we're entering as well. So, you know, not a whole lot of people have entered this thing yet, so jump on there. You got a good shot at winning. It'll be a free book. This book is super thick. It's great. I've got my copy coming in the mail soon, signed by Kyle. And this book is literally like $70 on Amazon right now, the soft cover. And then the hardcover is over $100. And so, I mean, it's an expensive book. So if you want it for free and you like action figures, check out that interview with myself and Jeremy Fedauer and Kyle Peterson, and try to win yourself a free book. Get yourself a free copy, just because you guys are fans of Fightful, and you guys, or I shouldn't even say fans. You guys are also other wrestling fans. That's really more like it. You guys aren't fans of me. You guys are fans of wrestling. We're all fans of wrestling. So I appreciate y'all for supporting this show and for supporting the Spotlight as always. But Braden Toon should be the guest this week on the Spotlight. After that, we had New South tag team titles on the line. Akuto Death Society, Chris Kronk, and Rita Raccoon They defeat the team of Bang and Matthews to retain their titles. The finish of this one was Rito with the Orita roll onto Bang for the three count. Then the main event of the show, we had the Haas Tournament Finals, which is a four-way elimination match. I'll tell you what happens for each fall here. So, first fall happens after Richard Holiday ducks a Spirit of 99. So basically, Big Dave hits a Spirit of 99 onto Donnie Primetime, but Holiday throws Dave out of the ring and then pins Donnie himself. So Holiday picks up the pinfall victory over Donnie Primetime because of the Spirit of 99 by Big Dave. The next fall happens when Tyler Franks hits a torture rack bomb onto Big Dave, and then the same kind of thing happens where Holiday just throws Franks out of the way and pins Dave. So Holiday pins Dave based on Franks' torture rack bomb, and then the final fall comes down to Tyler Franks and Richard Holiday. After a whole series of reversals, Tyler Franks is going for the final plow. Holiday reverses that into the 2008 and then pins Franks. So Richard Holiday is your Haas Tournament champion. So big results coming out of that show. We have Richard Holiday as the Haas Tournament champ and a new New South World champion in Braden Toon. Once again, you can watch all those matches, both those shows, on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, we got results for AIW Tougher Than Leather. This show took place on March 22nd, so this was Friday night. This is on Triller TV Plus as a part of the Triller TV Plus package, the monthly package. So you get this along with, you know, GCW and a lot of the stuff we talk about each week over there all together. So great deal over there. I'm not an endorser or sponsor to tell you to sign up. I just believe in the product. I think you should go check it out if you like pro wrestling. The show took place out of Cleveland, Ohio, out of the Temple Live Asylum Room. And these are the results for Absolute Intense Wrestling's Tougher Than Leather. We have the AIW tag team titles on the line. Oh, and by the way, I want to mention John Thorne, I think I saw him mention this, who is the promoter for AIW. I think this was the biggest live house that they've ever had, which is really impressive. And I think that's true. I'm pretty sure I saw him tweet that. But if that is true, that is really, really impressive, because AIW has been around for a long time and they're super successful and have a really loyal fan base, and they're a really big independent promotion. So if they're breaking their own records still, that's a really good sign the business keeps getting better for them. So congratulations if that's the case. Once again, back to the results. We had the AIW tag team titles on the line. Money Shot, the team of Zach Nystrom and Elijah Dean, along with the Duke on the outside. They defend and retain their titles over PME, the team of Marina Tenaglia and Philly Collins, along with Bill Alfonso on the outside. The finish of this one was Fonzie throwing a chair to the face of the Duke, who was on the ring apron. As that's happening, kind of distracts everyone and allows for Dean to do a schoolboy roll-up and grab the tights of Philly to get the 1-2-3. This was the sixth successful title defense for Money Shot with the tag team titles. After that, we had a six-way scramble match where Sam Holloway defeats Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, Microman, Mikey Montgomery, Filthy Tom Lawler, and Trey Lamar. The finish of this one, I'll do my best to describe. So basically, Filthy Tom has Dr. Dan in a rear naked choke on the ground, and Hardaway Holloway comes off the top rope with a splash on top of both of them and then pins Dan for the 1-2-3. So Holloway gets the win by pinning Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham. And Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, you don't see him pop up very often, but he's super, super entertaining. I used to get to see him every now and then at SUP in Nashville out of the Basement East, Southern Underground Pro. Yeah, he's always really entertaining. He's very, very, very good on the microphone. But Holloway with the win in that one. After that, we had Effie versus Magnum CK. This match went to a no contest and basically just served to set up a triple threat match, which I'm about to talk about. But basically, like, CK and Effie are mid-match. Demolition comes out onto the entrance ramp, like the actual Demolition, the OG WWF, former, you know, WWF Tag Team Champions. They come out and they introduce Danhausen. So it's now a triple threat match. Magnum CK defeats Danhausen and Effie. The finish here was Danhausen hitting a GTS onto Effie, and then CK throws Danhausen out of the ring and then hits like kind of this, like belly to back rock bottom onto Effie for the three count. After the match, CK and Danhausen shake hands and, you know, show each other some respect because they are former stable mates. After that, we had Chuck Stone over Wes Barkley. The finish of this one, basically winds up happening is Stone tries using the title belt, but the referee tries to grab it from him. So like they're both kind of tug of warring the title belt. And while this is happening, Stone does a backwards dick kick to the jewels of Barkley and then locks in a cobra clutch, forcing Barkley to pass out. So it's a referee stoppage, technical submission. Chuck Stone gets the win over Wes Barkley. After that, we had a tag team match where Jason Bayne and Josh Prohibition defeat Joshua Bishop and Tyler Jordan. The finish here was Bishop going for the Bishop Bomb onto Josh Prohibition. Prohibition, like, squirms his way out of it, and that sets up a Bayne line by Joshua Bayne to... by Jason Bayne onto Joshua Bishop. So, Bayne line to Josh Bishop, 1-2-3, after Bayne pins Bishop, so... Big win. I mean, Jason Bayne, it's weird that he's even, like, involved still because he had such a huge break from AIW. I mean, like probably, like, a decades-long break. I'm going to pull up his cage match because when he made his return, he had not been seen in so long. Yeah. I mean, it's been, like, 10 or 12 years. So, just wild. But, anyway, that's 2024 pro wrestling. Anything's possible, so... Jason Bayne pins Joshua Bishop with a Bayne line to get the tag team win for him in Prohibition. After that, we had Dominic Greeny and Shaw Mason over to Infinity and Beyond, the team of Colin Delaney and Cheech. The finish of this one was Mason did like a seatbelt pin. It's hard to describe, but like if you know amateur wrestling, I call it the seatbelt pin. But Mason seatbelt pin onto Cheech for the three count. After the match, Greeny turns on Mason, hits him in the back, and then hits him with a chair and does a move to him on the ring apron. After that, we have the AIW Intense title on the line. Eric Taylor with the Duke defeats Dex Royal. The finish of this one, do my best to try to explain here. So, a midair super kick, cover, 1-2, Duke throws the title in the ring. So the referee just stops counting. Like, Dex Royal had the win, but the ref just stops counting because Duke threw the ref. I kind of don't like that because the ref could have totally counted three and not got distracted in that moment, but it's pro wrestling. It is what it is. I get it. While this distraction is happening, on the outside, a golden boot gets slid into the ring, and the golden boot to the dome of Dex Royal for the two count. But, you know, he does kick out at two. Unfortunately for Royal, Taylor follows right up with a stomp, 1-2-3. Eric Taylor gets the win with a curb stomp over Dex Royal to retain the AAW Intense title. After that, we had Derek Dillinger with Katie Arquette on the outside over Joey Janela. The finish of this one was a second rope director's cut, which is his version of the Bubba Bomb, through a door, which was a kick out at two from Janela, followed up by what I wrote down as a no-arm package pile driver. So, just think of the setup for a package pile driver, but you don't actually hook the arms, but you're still kind of grabbing around the like the thighs, bottom of the legs. Looked really brutal. Dillinger with the big pinfall victory over Joe Janela. And then the main event of the show, we had the AIW Absolute Championship on the line. Isaiah Broner defends and retains over Alec Price. The finish of this one was Broner no-selling a super kick, followed up by a spinning back elbow. Goes for a lariat, but Price blocks it with a kick. Broner spins around and hits a spinning lariat and then follows up with an F5 for the 1-2-3. This was his sixth title defense of the AIW Absolute Championship and his 11th straight win in AIW. After the match, they shake hands and hug, and Broner leaves Price in the ring so Price can celebrate with the fans. And Broner kind of nods, you know, gives his nod to the crowd on his way out. Still your AIW Absolute Champion. Once again, you can check the show out over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for Action Wrestling. This is Action Madras Mayhem. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. This took place out of Newman, Georgia, out of Madras Middle School. And These are the results. This was from March 22nd, so on Friday night. Show started off with Casey Owens over Cody Fluffman. The finish here was Fluffman hitting a twisting Vader bomb and going for the pin. Kevin Ryan from the outside, a stablemate of Casey Owens from the good hand, he grabs the foot and basically it stops the pinfall from happening by grabbing the foot. And while this is happening, he gets distracted and Casey Owens hits a knee trembler for the three count. So Casey Owens with the knee trembler on Cody Fluffman after distraction and interference from Kevin Ryan in the good hand for the three count. After that, the Northside Heroes, the team of Jose Manuel and Shooter Gabe, they defeat the team of the New Guys, the team of Jake Bosch and Scott Stanley. Finish of this one was Gabe hitting a spear and then Manuel hitting a oh, what did he hit? I had it written down. Frog splash, top rope frog splash. I lost it there for a second. It was Gabe with a spear and then Manuel with a frog splash out the top for the three count. After that, we had Aaron Wade over ATM. The finish of this one was ATM running and just crashing and burning, going for a running drop kick in the corner, followed up by the tornado, which is a trouble in paradise kick by Aaron Wade for the 1-2-3. If you want to know more about Aaron Wade, he was a recent guest on the Spotlight. Really good interview there. Legitimate Taekwondo and martial arts background, so very interesting interview from him. And he's also an official entrant in the SCI tournament because he won the SCI Rumble. After that, we had Devin McCabre over Kaia McKenna. The finish of this one was McCabre like has this like black poison in her mouth, and she like puts it on her fingers and then wipes it in the eyes of McKenna. And that blinds her, and then she puts her in an octopus stretch, kind of like an abdominal stretch. I call it an octopus stretch. Gets the tap out win for the submission. After that, we had Warhorse over Jameson Shook. Warhorse gets the win after hitting a Saito suplex, and then what I wrote down is a Saito lariat because it is kind of like a Pepsi twist, but from like a Saito suplex setup. After the match, she continues to attack Jameson. And breaks a table over his back, so like uses the table as a weapon and like hits him over the back with it and breaks it, which was kind of nice. You never really see that. He then gets out of the ring and starts arguing with Matt Griffin, who's the promoter for Action Wrestling. Then he gets on commentary with Moz and Dylan Hales and calls out Cruel and says that he's no monster and he's not afraid of monsters and that like Warhorse himself is a monster. So Warhorse wants Cruel in that IWTV Championship. Warhorse, of course, the longest reigning IWTV champion of all time, and his big transformation recently, I think, has been really, really great for his career, in my opinion. We'll talk a little bit more about that here shortly with the Glory Pro results. After that, we had Top Team, the team of Jay Lucas and Teriyaki, over the Skulk, the team of Adrian Alanis and Liam Gray. I'm going to do my best to explain the finish here because it's going to sound a little confusing, but basically, what winds up happening is we have Lucas holding Gray up in a vertical suplex, and we have Alanis on top, on the top rope, and it's like they're going to be going for their finishing move. But Teriyaki grabs Alanis and throws him off the top rope, like into his own partner. So it was like the Skulk's finisher done to themselves by Top Team for the 1-2-3. Really, really well done. And then after the match, they shake hands, but then the Skulk attack Top Team, and then the Skulk hits them with the finisher that they just got hit with themselves, if that all makes sense. Really clever and well done, in my opinion. After that, we had Adam Priest over QT Marshall. The finish here was both wrestlers running into the ref in the corner. This allows Adam Priest to hit a backwards dick kick to the ball sack of QT Marshall, follows up with the DDT, 1-2-3. You do not kick out of Adam Priest's DDT. Any style. And in the main event of the show, we had a six-man tag match where Bobby Flacco, Cody Fluffman, and Rico Gonzalez defeat the Good Hand, the team of Alex Kane, Kevin Ryan, and Shug D. Alex Kane is the Action Wrestling World Champion. Kevin Ryan and Shug D are the Action Wrestling Tag Team Champions. The finish here was Flacco reversing a crash landing attempt. I call it the crash landing. Some people call it the X-plex. It's like the release vertical suplex that Alex Kane does. He's setting that up, and Flacco reverses it into a small package and pins Alex Kane. So a huge pinfall victory for Bobby Flacco and his team, along with Fluff and Enrico, get the win here over the Good Hand. And Flacco has a pinfall victory now over the current reigning defending Action Wrestling World Champion, the former MLW World Champion, Alex Kane. Once again, you can watch that show right now over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on March 22nd, and I watched it on Hulu, so that's where I would recommend checking it out. We had three matches and an interview, which is pretty much par for the course. So three matches in one interview. First match we had was Tavian Heights over Saquon Sugars. The finish here was a running belly to back by Tavian Heights for the 1-2-3. Or sorry, running belly to belly, Tavian Heights. He did this move last week as well, but running belly to belly suplex, Tavian gets the win. After that, we had an interview where Uriah Connors, the former Rogan Finley, talks about how he's the fourth generation of fighters in his family. He said that Eddie Thorpe was like a big brother to him on the indies, but it is his era now, and he's going to show him that he's really like the big bro. Leads into the next match, which is Jada Parker taking on Lainey Reed. Parker gets the win after. Oh, let me tell you a little bit about Lainey Reed, actually. She's making her NXT Level Up debut. She is a former pro rodeo person. I don't know what you call that. She was part of the rodeo professionally. She was also a hurdler in like track and field and stuff. So very athletic and very tough to be in those sports and those kind of professions. So I'm interested to see how Lainey does. She looked pretty good in the first match here of her very, very young career. So we had Jada Parker over Lainey Reed in this one. The finish here was a really nice reversal. So like Lainey was going for like a belly to back suplex, and Jada reversed it right into like a knee to the head, which it was really hard to explain. You got to really see it. I've never really seen it before. And she followed up with the I'll just call it the Sack Rider now, but the Rough Rider, the Radio Silence, whatever you want to call it, jumping leg lariat, 1-2-3. And then the main event of the show, we had Eddie Thorpe over Uriah Connors. The finish of this one was a penalty kick followed up by the Impaler DDT for the three count. This was Eddie Thorpe's return match. He hadn't been around since like the end of last year, and I like that he's using the Impaler as his finisher again for a little while. Like he was using it when he first came in to Level Up, but then he started using this like kind of lame elbow, which is probably a little too close to the People's Elbow with The Rock being back. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably why they told him to stop using it. But the Impaler DDT is way better anyways. Like it's a badass finisher. I've always loved that finishing move. And he hits it great, and he was hitting it great in New Japan years ago before he even came to WWE. So I'm all about this. I'm all about matches like Eddie Thorpe versus Uriah Connors, especially happening on Level Up. I've said it before, and I've said it 1,000 times. People who are not watching the show, I think, are in a lot of ways they're missing out. They, you know, just is what it is. But I thoroughly enjoy NXT Level Up, and when you get performers like this, I mean, it's definitely, a really good sign for the future, in my opinion, of what this show is and what the show can become. It's a way to take independent talent and put them in front of an actual live audience and not have to have them, you know, hidden away in the performance center and not wrestling in front of fans. And, you know, you put in all this work on the indies to make a name for yourself, and you're working multiple times a week, multiple times a weekend out there in front of crowds all over the country and then all over the world and stuff. And you know, you got to keep doing that and keep getting better and tweaking it and figuring out your style and your moveset in the WWE system and how you fit in. So, you know, really bright future for both Uriah Connors and for Eddie Thorpe, in my opinion. Now, moving on, we have results for a new show. This is for WWE Speed. This is spoiler alert, so spoiler alert. If you do not want spoilers, just fast forward to the timestamps you see below the audio you're listening to in the description. These are going to be matches that are going to be airing on X, and it got two sets of results right now or two match results, I should say, right now from the March 22nd tapings. So So spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We have two results right here for the brand new show, WWE Speed, to air on X in the future. We had Cedric Alexander over Odyssey Jones and Tyler Bate over Angel, the former Angel Garza. Worth mentioning via FightfulSelect.com. I'll go ahead and just read this right off the website because you guys are obviously subscribed if you're listening to the show. It says, longtime WWE talent, Pete Dunne was listed internally as a producer for both matches. He was also listed solo and without a co-producer, and we've not seen his name pop up on many lists lately. The 30-year-old is still active in the ring as a member of New Catch Republic. We'll look into this and see if he's planned to produce more or if it's an experiment with the new program. So very interesting. Pete Dunne could be doing some more producing for the WWE in the future, maybe. Looks like he's dipping his toes in the water with this new Speed show, which is promising. I mean, Pete Dunne's been wrestling since he was a teenager. He's been a part of the WWE system for a long time now. Came in young, basically as... he wasn't quite a teenager, so I don't think. I think Tyler Bate was still like 19. Pete Dunne was like in his really early 20s. And he's been in the company now for, I mean, the better part of a decade already, I would guess, right? I mean, that first UK tournament was already a long time ago. So, you know, if his next kind of life in wrestling is going to be as a producer, this is a good way to start that. And he can be kind of like a player coach right now as he's a, you know, still a part of the show. So I think Pete Dunne being involved can only lead to better things. All right, moving on, I got results for Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend. This is episode 29. Since the last time we talked, episode 28 and 29 have aired, so you can watch both of them for free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. I'm only going to be doing the results for episode 29 for this episode of The Weekender. This aired on March 22nd, so just 2 days ago at the time of this recording, so this was on Friday that this premiered. This actually would have probably been taped on in probably like December or January, and Ascend, you know, just catching up now over on YouTube. But if you want to watch the matches, highly recommend checking them out. Once again, they're totally free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. We had two matches for Ascend episode 29 this week. Started off with Tootie Lynn winning a four-way match over Allen Angels, Aki, and Jay Marson. The finish of this one was Lynn hitting a jumping sidekick onto Aki to kind of knock him out, and then hits a roundhouse kick and then a running knee to Marston for the 1-2-3. So Tootie Lynn gets the win in the opener. And then the only other match we had was a Crown of Glory Championship match where Warhorse Jake Parnell defends and retains his title over Danhausen. This is a damn good match with a lot of history between these two. Really, really good video package before this match. So, you know, basically it was like about Warhorse and the history of Warhausen, the tag team that they used to have, and how Warhorse felt like Danhausen was always kind of making him the butt of the jokes and all that stuff. So really, really good, you know, build up package in this one, you know, heading into this match. I'm doing my best to explain the finish here. So basically at the end of this match, Warhorse like throws Danhausen into the ref. And then Warhorse grabs the belt. The referee grabs the belt from Warhorse, and like as he's like getting rid of it, Danhausen does the dick punch and then does a small package, almost gets the win, but there's a kick out or two from Warhorse. Warhorse locks in a rear naked choke, and Danhausen's scrambling around trying to get to the ropes, and he can't get there, but he's kind of getting loose, and this allows for Warhorse to adjust his grip and do a gable choke, and he chokes him out completely. Danhausen passes out, and Warhorse retains the championship by technical submission, ref stoppage with a gable choke submission. After the match, and what was kind of surprising to be honest, after the match, Danhausen gets on the microphone and he points at the belt and he says that wrestling isn't the belt's on Warhorse's shoulder. And he says, the belt isn't about this, and that wrestling isn't about this, and he points at the belt, and he says, it's about this, and he points at the heart of Warhorse. And they wind up hugging each other, and there's a Warhausen chant after the show, and Warhorse and Danhausen do, like, their patented Warhausen handshake. So, pretty cool to see, because Jake Parnell has made such a huge transformation recently, to see him kind of soften up again a little bit, and, like, acknowledge his friendship with Danhausen. I thought was pretty cool and pretty refreshing. And yeah, this was a really good episode. Two really good matches, and really big title match there with Warhorse defending retaining over Danhausen with that Crown of Glory championship. Once again, if you want to watch the show, totally free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. I'm gonna give you some quick results real quick here for NWA Power. This show is available on the CW app and their website, and this aired on March 19th. Basically, the show starts off by setting up a match. Eric Taylor and Kerry Morton attack Bruiser Bob, setting up the Southern Six, the combination of Alex Taylor and Kerry Morton. They defeat Bruiser Bob and Devin Dixon. After the match, Silas Mason gives up his NWA National Championship and says that he's going to be challenging EC3 for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, do I think Silas Mason has a chance at winning the world title? I absolutely do. I think EC3, it's pretty wild because EC3 as the champion, there seems to be even less buzz than when Tyrus was the champion. But Tyrus being the champion created like all the wrong type of buzz. Although it was buzz, I guess. I don't know. But I don't want to even justify Tyrus's title run. I'm just putting it out there that like I feel like even less people are talking about NWA now with EC3 as the champion than they were before he was the champion. And Mason is more of kind of like a homegrown guy for them. I could see Mason being the next NWA World Heavyweight Champion, but we'll see where that all goes. But he relinquishes the NWA National title. We get a promo from Vampiro where it's revealed that Alex Misery is with him. Last week, I believe, the same kind of thing happened, and it was, I think it was Mecha Wolf with Vampiro in that one. Billy Corgan officially announces there's going to be an NWA National Heavyweight Championship tournament. We get a match here where Tiffany Nieves defeats Ruthie J. We find out Paul Burchill is going to be in the national title tournament, and we also find out that Bobby Fulton is going to be managing AJ Kazana in the tournament. We find out there's going to be a six-person tag match coming up where Eric Smalls will team with Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch to take on the Spectaculars 2.0. We also find out that the Immortals are considering giving up their NWA United States tag team title. There's so many damn titles in NWA, it's ridiculous. The Immortals say that they are considering giving up the NWA United States tag team titles, but they won't actually do it until they're actually in the ring across from One Force Trauma, who are, of course, the world's champions for the NWA. They're basically setting up like a unification match here, but hopefully they just get rid of the NWA United States tag team titles completely after that, because they're completely pointless. In the main event of the show, we had the NWA National title qualifier match. Blake Troop defeats Brian Idol to get in the tournament. So yeah, that's pretty much all there is to say about the NWA this week. We're getting some title relinquishment. Silas is giving up his title, and Immortals are probably going to give up their titles. And like I've said 1,000 times, this is the circumstances of having way too many championships and just not needing them. So that's really all I can say about the NWA this week. All right, let's wrap up today's show with some TNA spoilers. So spoiler alert, if you want to remain Impact spoiler free, go ahead and turn the show off right now. And appreciate y'all listening. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com before you leave. And that said, these are going to be TNA Impact spoilers. These are from March 23rd, and they are courtesy of cagematch.net from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm going to read all the spoilers right as I see them in 3, 2, 1. Got Steve Macklin over Kevin Knight. Myron Reed over Ray Jazz. Kushida over Ace Austin and Speedball Mike Bailey in a triple threat. Moose over Trent Seven in a non-title match. PCO over Khan in a Monsters Ball match. Joe Hendry over LSG. Grizzled Young Vets, the team of Zach Gibson and James Drake, along with Mustafa Ali, over Diener, Jake Something, and Rhino. Ash by Elegance over Zaya Brookside. Non-title tag team match where The System, the team of Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, along with Alicia Edwards, defeat the Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. We got Rosemary over Jody Threat. Frankie Kazarian over Chris Bay. And we got Jordan Grace and Josh Alexander over Hammerstone and Tasha Steeles. There's some good stuff there. Some matches I'm looking forward to off this list. Macklin versus Kevin Knight's probably a banger. Myron Reed versus Ray Jazz is probably good, depending on what kind of time they give him. Ray Jazz I've seen live in Atlanta for companies like Championship District Wrestling. Kushida versus Ace Austin versus Speedball is going to be a banger. All these matches are solid, honestly. The sixth man with GYV and Ali versus Dean or something and Rhino, I bet will be really good. Yeah, really good. Emergency Machine Guns are, it sounds like they're wrapping up with the company. Myself and Jeremy talked about that a bit on the Spotlight on Thursday, if you want to check out our thoughts on MCMG and their potential future. Kazarian versus Chris Bay is probably a banger. I mean, you got really good stuff on here. And of course, Jordan Grace, Josh Alexander versus Hammerstone and Tasha. You can't go wrong there. So, I mean, everything on here looks good. But, so yeah, really good stuff coming up for Impact Wrestling. TNA Wrestling, I should say. For everybody got used to calling it Impact again, it's TNA. So, TNA Impact spoilers. There you go. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at FightTalk underscore, FightTalk underscore. Please use code FightTalk and independentwrestling.tv. And please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time with myself and Jeremy Lambert. As I mentioned before, our most recent episode, we had an interview with Kyle Peterson and Jeremy Padour. And coming up this week, we should have Braden Toon, the new New South World Champion. The week after, we should have Teal Rhodes coming on to talk about her brother Cody trying to win the big one, trying to finish the story at that weekend's WrestleMania, and a whole bunch of stuff we'll talk about with Teal on that one. So yeah, appreciate y'all for listening. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.